Radio Prague News.
The Justice Minister has named Lenka Bradáčová as the head of the State Prosecutor's Office in Prague. More questions have surfaced regarding the problematic national vehicle registration system. And blue Wellington boots that the Czech Olympic team wore with success in the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games are reportedly selling well in London. Justice Minister Pavel Blažek has named former Úzký nad Labem state attorney Lenka Bradáčová to head the state prosecutor's office in Prague. In doing so, he complied with an earlier recommendation by the Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman. At a press conference on Monday, the Justice Minister indicated that meetings with Ms. Bradáčová, a highly respected anti-corruption crusader, discussing the future of the office, had played a role, as had the fact that there were no serious contenders. Mr. Blažek's predecessor, Jiří Pospíšil, was recalled from his post last month by the Prime Minister, which led to marked speculation in the media he was removed before he could name her in time. In related news, politicians from various political parties welcomed the Justice Minister's decision to name Lenka Bradáčová as the head of the State Prosecutor's Office in Prague. Top 09 Deputies Club leader Petr Gazdík called the move a good step, while LIDEM leader Karolina Pík said the newly named official would stabilize the situation at the State Prosecutor's Office. Among the opposition, Social Democrat Jiří Dienstbier also welcomed the move, while Communist Party leader Vojtěch Filip called Ms. Bradáčová a suitable candidate. More questions have surfaced regarding the problematic national vehicle registration system. Czech television claims the system, which has been plagued by problems since its launch on July the 9th, was severely overpriced. It was reportedly commissioned without a public tender to the company ATS for the price of 60 million crowns, despite the fact that the company which operated the old register offered its services for a fraction of that price, a mere 6 million. The Transport Ministry said it had commissioned the job without a public tender in order to save time. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík told the CTK news agency she would ask the Transport Minister, a member of her own party, for an explanation. Blue Wellington boots that the Czech Olympic team wore with great success in the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in London are reportedly selling well at the Czech House in London, not only among Czech visitors but Londoners and tourists as well. The Czech collection, blue and white suits topped off with Wellington boots and parasols, a humorous reference to English weather, was one of the hits of the opening evening, trending high on Twitter and gaining international attention. Václav Hrbek, the head of Alpine Pro, official partner of the Czech Olympic team, which invested heavily in the collection, told news website IDNES that the sales of the blue rubber boots had also gone up at home. He said he had expected profits would be mild, but indicated the project was crucial in terms of marketing. Police are searching for a metal thief who tried to cut an electronic cable along a railway route near Most. The perpetrator dug up the cable, providing electricity for the route's safety system in five places, and attempted to chop through it with an axe. In doing so, he received a jolt of around 6,000 volts, specialists said. The thief must have suffered at least minimal burns to his arms, they added, saying the accident could have ended badly indeed. The jolt partly melted and burned the axe, which was found at the scene. If caught and found guilty in the case, the perpetrator could face up to 6 years in prison. Mostly clear skies are expected at the beginning of the new week, with a chance of showers in places. Daytime temperatures are expected to reach highs between 20 to 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's all the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Olympic House in London has seen thousands of visitors since it opened last Friday, so how do people like it? We'll bring you a summary of the sports news and later on in one-on-one talk to an expert on the subject of bank fees, something that angers many Czechs but that most people still put up with. And we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay tuned. Thousands of people, Czechs and Londoners alike, have come to the Czech House in London since the start of the London Olympics. Inaugurated on Friday by President Václav Klaus, the venue offers Czech music, art, food, beer and other attractions, as well as a chance to chat to some of the athletes competing in the Games. Jan Richter reports.
The band Toxic was one of the highlights of the opening program at the Czech House in Islington. Crowds of people have since visited the venue, some of them no doubt blurred by the instant hit at London's Olympic-themed art scene, the push-up bus by David Černý outside the house, others by Pilsner Urquell on tap inside it. The Czech ambassador to the United Kingdom, Michal Žantovský, opened the Czech Olympic House along with President Václav Klaus on Friday.
It's a grand design and grand piece of work, and I think that for the next 2 weeks it will be the center of cultural and social life in Islington, and I think it will make us proud. We know that most countries, certainly most European countries, have opened some kind of an Olympic house in London during the Games, and I think it will be very interesting to compare notes after the Olympics about how the various designs and projects work.
The Czech House is located at the Angel area in the London borough of Islington. The mayor of Islington, Julani Chowdhury, took part in the opening ceremony and told Radio Prague he was happy to host the Czechs.
I'm very pleased that Czech Republic chosen the Islington, their base, yeah? And it's wonderful and really hospitable people there, welcoming everyone in here. And I'm really pleased to see them in here. Islington is one of the boroughs which is 40% of population is other than white than BME community, yeah? This is one of the diverse boroughs in here. And it is a history of all coming people all over the world. This is one of the things, Islington.
One of the Islingtonians who came to have a look at what the Czechs were doing was a Second World War veteran, William Mivitz.
This is fantastic. We thoroughly enjoyed it. But I was talking to people about what this place was 80 years ago. It was an old circus. It was then we had a dairy farm. Animals used to come here for the dairies. Then they used to go all through the streets up into the cattle market where they went to slaughterhouses.
Some members of the Czech Republic's Olympic team also visited the Czech House ahead of their events. One of them was the basketball player Jana Vesela, who came ahead of the team's opening game against China.
We just practicing, and we were only in the Olympic Village, and we don't have so much time, so much free time. So I hope during the tournament we will have more free times, and we want to go for sure to London Centre, and let's see a little bit more.
What are the chances of your team, do you think, of Team Czech Republic and women's basketball, realistically, at the Games?
Well, the main goal for us is for sure to be the first four team in the group, so like to go to quarterfinal. So this is the goal, and we want to do this.
Since the start of the Olympics, the Czech House has seen a lot of action, but no medal celebrations yet. But fans hope they will have a chance to cheer for the champions before the Games end.
Jan Richter with that report. And now, this being Monday, it's time for a roundup of the sports news with Dominic Yoon.
The Czech women's basketball team suffered defeat at the hands of China at the London Olympics on Saturday. The final score was 66-57, with the Czech Republic in Group A of the tournament, along with the United States, Turkey, China, Angola and Croatia. The women's team are set to play Turkey on Monday. Czech badminton hopeful and cancer survivor Petr Koukal saw defeat in his first match of the London Olympics, losing to Indonesia's Taufik Hidayat on Saturday 21-8, 21-8. The match was an entirely one-sided affair for Hidayat, who easily swept aside the Czech in the match, which took place in London's Wembley Arena. For Koukal, who was diagnosed with testicular cancer 2 years ago and who carried his country's flag at the opening ceremony on Friday, merely being at the Games was something of an achievement. A day later, Koukal faced Portugal's Pablo Abian in a far more competitive match. However, Koukal also saw defeat here, going down 21-17, 16-21 and 21-16. The Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych crashed out of the Olympics on Saturday with a first-round defeat to Belgium's Steve Darcis. The best-of-three match, which was played at Wimbledon's famous All England Club, ended 6-4, 6-4, and rounds off a tough summer for the Czech. The sixth seed lost his opening match at Wimbledon to Latvia's Ernests Gulbis with exactly the same score, 6-4, 6-4, a few weeks ago, a far cry from reaching the finals of that competition 2 years ago. After the match, Berdych reflected that grass court surfaces seem to be a particularly weak point for this year and noted that he will have to reflect on how to improve his game in the coming year. And staying with tennis, Czech women's hopeful and world number 6 Petra Kvitová had an early scare with her opening Olympics match against the number 76 ranked Ukrainian Katerina Bondarenko. In the demanding match, Kvitová won the first set 6-4 but lost the second 5-7. The Czech tennis player was able to recover in the third, closing out 6-4. In the next round, Kvitová is set to face China's Shuang Peng. Here she is talking to Czech television after the match.
Sure, it was a tough match, but the important thing is that I won, and that is what matters. There are definitely many places where I know I can improve, and it was rather similar to the first round of Wimbledon that I played not long ago, where I also battled through under less than perfect conditions. But that ended up well, and so did this in the end, so I'm happy that I'm progressing further.
Meanwhile, the Czech women's doubles partners Petra Tsetkovská and Lucia Šafárová crashed out in the first rounds 2-6, 3-6 to Italy's Sara Errani and Roberta Vinci. And the Czech women's beach volleyball duo Lenka Haječková and Hanna Klapalová saw their first win at the tournament on Monday, defeating the Mauritius duo Natasha Rigobert and Lee Yuk Lo 2-0. The sweeping victory in the space of a mere 23 minutes came as a relief to the Czechs, who suffered a 2-love defeat on Saturday at the hands of Germany's Katrin Holtwick and Ilka Semler. The win puts the Czechs at the top of their Group A table, at least for now, which consists of teams from Germany, Mauritius, the Czech Republic and Brazil. And finally, in non-Olympics related news, the NHL team Philadelphia Flyers have signed the Czech Republic's Jakub Voráček in a 4-year deal worth $17 million. The ice hockey forward was part of the Czech Republic's World Championship winning team in 2010 and joined the Flyers last year with a 1-year contract worth $2.25 million. The new deal represents an unmistakable affirmation of the Flyers' satisfaction with their player, who scored 18 goals for the team during the last season. One other Czech, 35-year-old defenseman Pavel Kubina, also plays for the US team.
My thanks to Dominic Yoon for the sports, and let's hope that this week brings better news from London. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, our in-depth interview of the week. This edition of One on One is hosted by Dominic Yoon.
My guest today is Aleš Rod, an expert analyst at bankovnipoplatky.com, which translates as bank fees. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Rod. Thank you for joining us. So tell me about Bankovní poplatky. What exactly is it?
Bankovní poplatky is, let's say, expert website which is dealing with banks, banking fees, and generally about banking sector in Czech Republic.
And it's existed since 2005, is that right?
Yeah.
And its main purpose, I guess, is to inform the public.
To inform public is our main goal.
Now, the question of bank fees is something that irritates, grates, angers, frustrates. Many particular adjectives can be used. Basically, there are fees for banking, to summarize it, in the country, which, for example, a foreigner who's used to banking in England or somewhere like that finds shocking. So what is the nature of the problem with the fees in this country?
Well, generally, we can divide banking fees in Czech Republic to two groups. The first one is, let's say, some banking fees with value added, which means that you demand something on the bank and bank just provides some special service, which is just like when you purchase good, right? But the second group is a group of absurd fees, which is like when you just control your current account level.
When you go to a cash machine, yeah, and you just check your balance. Just, yeah, for checking the balance, many banks have a fee.
And you have a pole, which is probably the most famous part of, I would say, Bankovní poplatky, is that once a year you conduct a public opinion poll. Mm. So tell me about that. Tell me about the different ones that were in this year's poll, and tell me about some of the absurd fee winners and so on.
That's something like award to the bank, which, you know, the banks don't love it because it's just a negative advert for them. But it's a poll about the most absurd banking fee of the year in the Czech Republic. And the winner goes to the fees or absurd transactions with no value added, which are just very easy, free of charge for the bank. But the bank just want money for customers for nothing. The classical example is the fee just for administration of mortgage account, which is no value added, but the cost is, I don't know, a few hundred Czech crowns per month for nothing.
And there are also really absurd fees, like for receiving money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If someone transfer the money to your account, you have to pay a fee to your bank.
And there's also a fee for withdrawing cash from a bank?
Yeah, it's a standard fee in all banks.
And there's also a fee for having a bank account?
Yeah. That's also a fee.
So the obvious question is, why did Czechs put up with this?
I think the most problem is that Czechs are at rational ignorance. So they want to get information about, I don't know, sport matches, about football, about politics. But the really important issue, as is the administration of your own money, is the number 4 or 5 or 10 in the list of important activities of the average Czech Joe. So that's the problem, and we are trying to change it, to improve it, but it's a very long journey.
And do you think Czechs have sort of normalized it? They just consider it normal. I have a bank account, I pay these kinds of fees, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly the point, because most of Czech has no experience from abroad, from foreign countries, which it's normal to have no fees account free of charge, because you are just credit to bank your money, and bank can use it and can profit from your money. So that's the real benefit for the bank, not to charge fees.
And is there also a problem with Czechs being resistant or extremely conservative in terms of deciding to change their bank account, that they just think it's too much of a hassle, it's too complicated to, mm-hmm. you know, leave the bank that they know and hate and mm-hmm. find something else?
Yeah, that's right. It used to, but these days the very useful improvement has been the tool which name is Codex Mobility, let's say Codex of Mobility of Banking Client. And it's very useful tool, because if you want to change your bank, you just go to your new bank, to the bank you choose, and just sign the document that is some proof that you want to change to this bank, and the new bank arrange all the administration with your old bank, and old bank must cooperate.
So was this legislated, or was this an agreement by all the banks?
Yeah. It's agreement of all the banks in the Czech Banking Association.
And there are a lot of new banks popping up all the time in this country. One example that springs to mind is Fio Banka. Mm-hmm. Another just before that was a bank called M Bank. Mm-hmm. And they're promising to not have fees or have significantly reduced fees. So is this a positive phenomenon, and is it threatening the quasi-monopoly of the big banks like ČSOB, Česká spořitelna, and so on?
Yeah, that's right. For example, last year we have a refreshments at the market, which is Air Bank, Equa Bank, and Zuno Bank. And these banks are just like a fresh wind to the old immobile structures of the sector, because they are modern, they are online, they are on Facebook and on social sites. And that's very interesting for sharing, delivering information, especially to young clients, because, you know, young clients are on Facebook and online. So that's a good strategy in my eyes. And it seems to be a good strategy for them, because they have more than 100,000 clients for a few months together. And these all big banks have to react on this fresh wind.
Have they reacted yet?
Yeah.
So there's been already some movement, the elimination of some fees?
Yeah, there is. There is a elimination of fees, there is a providing better services, and the orientation of the market is much more customer or consumer friendly.
And the website bankovnipoplatky.com, it contains a calculator where people can calculate fees. There's also like a clock which shows the shocking amount that banks have collected in fees, which currently is somewhere around 22.16 billion crowns. So how are the banks reacting to the website's efforts?
They try to be friendly because, you know, it's a good strategy for them, but we are very independent. For example, we have no advertisement of the individual bank or no PR articles and this kind of information to the public. So I think they respect us.
And visitors to the website, do you get a lot of feedback from people who come to your website, and what kinds of things do they say?
We are not the site for general public, like for millions of Czech people each day, like a classical online media, but we have our base of readers, and this base is increasing all the time, so we are proud of it, and that's the improvement that we do our services in a good way.
And 2011 was apparently a record year for bank fees, so there's still a long way to go, presumably, to reverse that and maybe have a year where there are slightly fewer collected.
Yeah. It was more than 39 billion Czech crowns per year, and our forecast is that due to the freshmen, due to the new banks, this year the increase will be much more, not sharp. Maybe it will be stable or small decrease. We will see.
Aleš Šrod, expert analyst at bankovnypoplatky.com, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dominik Yoon's guest on One-on-One was Aleš Roth, an expert analyst at bankovnypoplatky.com. And now, in the time left to us, we're offering you another part in Radio Prague's popular language series, The ABCs of Czech, which we're currently rebroadcasting. Brambory pečený,
ty já mívám pečeři. Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own Czech language program, in which we look at the uses of numbers in everyday language. And by now we've reached the number 20. The Czech word
dvacet.
20 comes from dva deset, which literally means 2 10, but over the centuries it became corrupted to
dvacet.
Numbers between 20 and 30 are formed just like in English, by simply adding numbers from 1 to 9. So 21 will be
21.
And analogically, 25 is
25.
Under the influence of German, Czech can also form these numbers the other way around. For example,
21.
21.
25.
25. Or
29.
29. These can be heard more often in colloquial speech. The ordinal number is
20.
The 20th. The neuter gender is
20.
As in
20. století.
The 20th century. The 21st century is
21. století.
A more common version than
21. století.
Remember what we said earlier about numbers between 20 and 30. A 20 crown piece is
20 koruna.
Also known as
20.
Or even
20.
The figure of 20 is
dvacítka,
which can also refer to a tram number, 20, or a woman in her 20s, but some might feel that the word has slightly sexist connotations. A 20-something-year-old man would be
dvacátník,
which is a perfectly neutral word. One's 20th birthday is called
dvacetiny.
So we can say
Petr slaví dvacetiny.
Peter is celebrating his 20th birthday. The saying
dát si dvacet
means to take a nap. It's called that because a short afternoon nap can last about 20 minutes. Another saying,
jeden za osmnáct, druhý bez dvou za dvacet,
is usually applied to misbehaving children. The literal translation is one for 18 and the other for 20 minus 2. That is, both are just as bad. Well, we've come to the end of this lesson on number 20, but we'll be back with more Czech numbers next time. Until then,
naschledanou.
And I'm afraid that Czech lesson has brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us at radio.cz, where you find all our reports and interviews in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Daniela Lazarova saying thanks for listening and take care.